This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. What does happiness mean to you? In fact, what does it mean to be alive? Northern Kentucky University professor Dr. Bonwari Mittal explored those questions with hundreds of strangers during a two-year trek across the country. He documented the experience in his new book, 50 Faces of Happy. I spoke with Dr. Mittal earlier. And joining me now is Dr. Bonwari Mittal. Bon, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Michael, for inviting me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to have you. The name of this book is 50 Faces of Happy. It explores work, money, life, and purpose. You spent 2 years traveling across 30 states, 50 cities. You talked to hundreds of people for this little project. What would you say your goal was here?
Well, at that time, I've been interested in the topic of happiness for like last 5 years. And I saw so many books already, and they're good books. In fact, I have learned a lot from them. But they tell you what is happiness, and they tell you what to do. So they're like prescription. And I wanted to know what is happiness from people's own point of view, subjective happiness, as I call it. So like if you think about it, we have spent 20, 30, 40 years of our life. Surely we ought to know what is happiness, right? And so that had to be the starting point.
And so the idea is that there are self-help books that are designed to lead people to a life of happiness. But your idea is that not everyone's ideal happiness is reflective of each other's.
That's one. And secondly, these books tell you what to do, and that's good for some people and not good for some people. So they're lecturing, whereas when you read a story, mine is narrative from those people's point of view. When you read a story, automatically you begin to see yourself in it and question whether that's me or not me.
Over the course of creating this book and talking to all these hundreds of people, you pose basically the same five questions. And I thought that they were interesting because they managed to be both simple and deep at the same time, depending on the type of response that you're able to elicit. You ask about the type of work they do, very general question. You ask a general question about what their everyday life is like. You ask what they would do if they won $1 million in the lottery. And I like that. You ask whether they would keep working with that money. And then you ask what happiness means. And the last question you tend to ask is, gosh, the question we all want to know the answer to is, what is the purpose of life? So first, I just want to talk about the composition of those questions and why you chose those five.
So my focal question was happiness. But I understood that happiness has to be seen in the context of the totality of the person. And being a consumer behavior researcher, that has been my focus all the time when people shop. It's not just they shopping as a shopper, but they shopping as a person. So I wanted to understand the totality of the person. So that's why I would ask them, tell me something about your life or tell me about your work in either different order. And I believe that work plays an important role or our view of work. Our view of our work colors everything in our life. So I wanted to ask these two questions, and of course, whether work has meaning or not. And then money, of course, plays an important role in happiness both. When a person makes money the focus of their life, and also when they don't make it the focus of their life.
I thought that some of the answers to the money question were the most telling about what people think about in private, because to have $1 million when you're not used to having $1 million,
right,
that's sort of a fantasy, right? And so what would I do in what might be considered to me an ideal life, to have $1 million of expendable cash, what would I do? And so some of the answers in your book, it range from, oh, I would pay off my student loans, I'd get out of debt, or I'd buy something nice, like I'd get a bigger house or a nicer car, or I would invest in opportunity, I would invest in research, or I might, I saw one answer that included a gentleman who said I would construct a low-income apartment building.
I do believe that people who look at money as an instrument of materialism are experiencing a different kind of happiness than people who look at money as an enabler of their life projects, checking a bucket list, so to speak. Their level of happiness and experience, subjective experience of happiness, is a different kind.
So we saw from their answers what these folks think money can buy for them. But we often hear throughout our lives, well, money can't buy happiness though, right? And so you're asking a money question in a book about people's happiness. Is that true? Can money buy happiness? Can money not buy happiness?
Yes. Yes and no. First of all, the fact that you want to do something with that money, wanting to do something rather than having nothing on your plate to do, that itself is a source of happiness. And then if you look at money as an instrument of materialism, then you get happiness, but that's transient. If I remove that money from you, you are sad and miserable again. If you look at money as an instrument of enabling things that you want to do, and assuming you have done those things with that money, then if I remove the money from you, you're still happy. Just the memory of accomplishing things and investing in your life, the assets of your life, gives you happiness even after the money is gone.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. My guest today is Dr. Bon Mittal. He's a professor of marketing at Northern Kentucky University. His new book is called 50 Faces of Happy. It was a project in which he visited 30 states, 50 cities, talked to hundreds of people, asked them all the same five questions to get a general idea of people's thoughts on what happiness means, what they would do with a certain amount of money, and what they think life's purpose is. I'm wondering if any surprising themes emerge for you as you talk to this wide, diverse group of people across America.
We spend about 70% of our waking time at work. And if work doesn't have meaning for you, then obviously you're not going to be happy. Money, we already talked about it. And then purpose of life. I mean, if you have not thought about why do you live, then you might think you're happy, but you have not explored.
One activity that you give the reader to do throughout this book is similar to asking themselves these questions. But in addition to that, as they're reading each person's individual story, you give three boxes that they can check. They could check that I am this person, that I want to be this person, or that I should want to be that person. What's the purpose of that exercise?
Well, here is the thing. So unlike the books that tell you what to do, here you read the story. The moment you read the story, it's an automatic response to see how does it apply to me. And then you answer those questions and then you want to read more. So the desire to read more and more. And then you'll say, oh my God, was that true of me or this is true of me? And so these three boxes are just an instrument to keep you in order and motivate your own thinking. Because students will read, and if you don't have a review question at the end of the chapter, they read, and what they get out of just reading is less than if they were to think about it and check a box. So the boxes force you very gently. They're not forcing you in a lecture method. They're kind of nudging you, so to speak, to answer those questions for yourself.
The name of the book is 50 Faces of Happy. It's by Northern Kentucky University professor Dr. Bonwari Mittal. It's available now wherever books are sold. Bon, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about this project today.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks.